little bit of game show music. I am your game show host, Cy Kellett, with our superstar game show guest, Carlo Broussard. Hello, Carlo.
I like your moves, man.
I know. I got the game show moves.
You got some grooviness going on, brother.
That's very groovy music. It's not the groovy music, but it's very groovy music. Catholic Answers Game Show. Time to gather the kids. Get grandma and grandpa up. All gather around the table. You might want a pencil or a paper. You can play along at home. As a matter of fact, we read the questions twice so that you can play along at home. Find out who's really good. You can play along in the car if you like. If you're in the car heading towards grandma and grandpa's house, and perhaps there will be a prize for the family's winner. I won't be giving out the phone number. There won't be any calls this hour. We've got two contestants who have agreed to join us and test their mettle against my best, hardest. Well, they're not the hardest question. No, I always try to make it a good mix, Carlo, and I never feel like I quite nail it when I write the questions up. But
the last one we did had some pretty difficult questions.
I know this I got one, a little out of hand
you're,
last time.
You're a little on the lighter side.
They're not here. As bad. Okay.
Not as bad.
There's a couple that are really hard.
That's right.
But they're not all really hard.
No.
All right. Well, we'll find out how our contestants feel about that. We have two contestants playing against one another today for a fabulous room full of gifts and prizes. First is Kimberly. Kimberly, are you there with us?
Yes, I am.
Kimberly, thank you for being on the Catholic Answers Game Show. Where are you from and what's interesting about you?
Let's see. I live in Rockville, Maryland, but I'm from Sunnyvale, California.
Oh, that was a move down, I got to say, Kimberly. Sorry.
Well, I moved here for work.
I'm only playing with you.
4 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I work making costumes for theater and opera.
Oh, what?
That's cool.
That is so cool. Yep. Oh, our second contestant better have something interesting to say because you're going to win the interestingness category. Our second contestant is Eric. Eric, where are you from and what's interesting about you?
I am from Kansas City, Missouri, but I moved to Orlando, Florida.
Well, see, now that's a move up. I only say that because I love the sun. Wherever there's sun, it's better for me. But go ahead, Eric. So you're in Orlando, Florida, and what's interesting about you?
I work for a big company associated with a mouse.
I hope things are going well, because here in California, they shut you all down. But in Florida, that you're not shut down, right?
That's right. We're open with masks.
All right. Well, that's very good. So I was going to make a joke about if you would give me free tickets, I would help you out. But one time I made a joke about cheating on the show and someone was deeply offended because I was teaching their children evil. So I can't make that joke, but I will help you, Eric.
You guys can have free tickets.
Oh, all right. I like Eric already. I just need to find myself an opera costume that I can wear. Who could get me an opera costume?
My kids would love that. They love costumes and dress up.
All right. So I'm going to go over the rules. You two ready to go over the rules?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. There are three rounds to the Catholic Answers game show. The first two rounds are multiple choice questions. The last round is all true or false questions. The first two rounds will determine who goes on to the third round, which we call final judgment.
Du-du-du-du.
So the winner of the first two rounds goes on to final judgment. Now you have to do it from now on, Carlo. You started doing it. So I hope that you are ready for your final judgment. So the way it will work, there are three multiple choice questions for each of you in round one, three multiple choice questions for each of you in round two. At the end of those two rounds, assistant producer Marie will do arithmetic, add it all up, see who has the most points. That person will go on to their final judgment. If, however, we are tied after two rounds, I have a box next to me marked A and B, which those who are watching live can see, box A and B. Kimberly is, because she is contestant number one, will pick either A or B, and inside that box are instructions on who is going on to their final judgment. Is that all clear to you?
Yes.
Did you tell them about the lifeline?
No, not yet. Oh, I saved that till I want to make sure they got this part.
Okay. Sorry, I jumped the gun.
That's all right. Then, boy, Carlo has gotten really bossy since we have him every time. He's very bossy now. All right. So you also have lifelines, but the lifelines are only good in rounds one and two. You have to use them up in rounds one and two. One lifeline is the 50-50. You just say to Carlo, give me the 50-50. He will eliminate one wrong answer, and you will just have two answers left to pick from for multiple choice. The other one, Carlo will just give you the answer. Is that clear?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. There is a slight twist, however. When Carlo gives you the answer, he will give it to you in Igpe Atenle.
Pig Latin.
I knew there was a catch.
Yeah, there's a catch. All right, so you got to be able to understand pig Latin to know what Carlo says. All right, I think those are the rules. We are ready to play. Are we ready to play? Did I say all the things? I was supposed to say the disclaimer. We are to be held harmless in all instances. If you are hurt playing the game, you cannot sue us. Is that? I just made that up. I'm not a lawyer. So, all right, that's going to be our disclosure. Contestant number one is Kimberly. Kimberly, you ready for your first multiple choice question?
Yeah, here we go.
Here we go. Question number one for Kimberly. For those of you playing at home, I will read the question twice, and then Kimberly will answer. So you have a chance to everybody get their answer in around the table or in the car. Question number one for Kimberly, contestant number one. Which apostle was a tax collector, Kimberly? Kimberly, which apostle was a tax collector? Was it A, Judas, B, Matthew, or C, Philip? Which apostle was a tax collector? A, Judas, B, Matthew, C, Philip.
B, Matthew.
Beautiful. That sound, by the way, is the you got it correct sound.
Good job, Kimberly. Matthew chapter 10, verse 3.
Thank you.
Right there in the Bible.
Sometimes he's called Levi, though, mm-hmm. right? I don't know why. He's one of those double name ones. There's like six or seven
Saul,
of the apostles.
Paul,
yeah, well,
Jude
Peter
Thaddeus.
And Simon and Jude Thaddeus, right? But you can see why Jude went by Thaddeus. Because, like, I'm not that Judas, okay? I'm the other Judas. I'm just going by Thaddeus. All right, question number one for contestant number two. Your first question, Eric. Eric, which of the apostles was a carpenter? A, Philip, B, Thaddeus, C, none that we know of. Eric, which of the apostles was a carpenter? A, Philip, B, Thaddeus, C, none that we know of.
I'm going to go ahead and use the lifeline.
Really? Lifeline already. Which one would you like to use?
We will do Pig Latin.
Igpe Atenle, Carlo.
All right. Let's see if I remember how to do this. Onene. Hate, ewe, noke, foe.
So the choices are Philip, Thaddeus, or none that we know of.
I'm going to go with none that we know of.
Excellent. That would have been, if that had been Thaddeus, that would have been really bad pig Latin. But all right, Eric, you got that? Did you mark that down that Eric has used one? Because I always forget. Oh, thanks, assistant producer.
I like
producer
that last one, foe. That rolled off the tongue nicely.
Good, Carlo. You're getting really... Carlo needs some positive feedback. You're getting great at this, Carlo. All right, contestant number one, Kimberly, here's question number two for you. Kimberly, what is transubstantiation? The question is, what is transubstantiation? I'm going to read the answers twice for those at home. A, the change... the change of a I beg your pardon. I'm going to start again. I don't know why I'm having trouble. A, the change of the substance of bread and wine into the substance of the body and blood of Jesus. B, the presence of the body and blood of Jesus within the substance of bread and wine. Or C, the real presence of Jesus alongside the bread and wine. Let me read the question again for those playing at home. What is transubstantiation? A, the change of the substance of bread and wine into the substance of the body and blood of Jesus. B, the presence of the body and blood of Jesus within the substance of bread and wine. Or C, the real presence of Jesus alongside the bread and wine.
A, the change of substance.
Very good. I was so hoping you wouldn't ask for a lifeline in pig Latin.
I really wanted that to be pig Latin. F-A, Ainge J. That would have gone on forever. Yes. Carlo, what do you think?
Oh, yeah. Excellent. It's straight from the Council of Trent, quoted by the Catechism of the Catholic Church in paragraph 1376. The transubstantiation is the whole, is the change of the whole substance of the bread into the substance of the body of Christ our Lord, and the whole substance of the wine into the substance of his blood. And that word whole is key, because that allows for, that, that tells us that after consecration, there is no aspect of the being of bread and wine except the accidental qualities, right? Yeah. There's nothing of the substantial being of bread and wine that remains. It is entirely the substance of the body and blood of Christ. Your other two options, B and C, allow for the reality of Jesus' body and blood being present and the reality of bread and wine still being present.
And that is not transubstantiation.
And that is not transubstantiation, correct.
All right, let's do question number two for contestant number two. Eric, I'm going to read the question twice. What is concupiscence? A, the total corruption of the human heart that is a consequence of the fall of Adam. B, sexual desire that is excessive. Or C, an inclination to evil. Eric, what is concupiscence? A, the total corruption of the human heart that is the consequence of the fall of Adam. B, sexual desire that is excessive. Or C, an inclination to evil.
I'm going to go with C.
Very good, Eric. That is correct. Paragraph 405 in the Catechism. Although, Si, that was kind of a tricky one. I missed this one when I was reviewing them before the show. B might be, it's not what concupiscence is.
But it is a form of concupiscence.
That's right. That's right. Right. So that could have tripped Eric up, but he got it. So kudos to you, Eric.
So a certain way to think about concupiscence, then, it is the desire for something that is in excess of reason.
Like,
that is correct. It's normal to desire food, but to desire it in excess of reason, that would
be concupiscence. Right, that inclination toward... That's why it's called a disordered desire, right? Because it's a desire for the good outside the boundaries of reason.
We got to take a quick break. We will be right back with more of our game show with Eric and Kimberly and our guest, Carla Broussard, right after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
We pray because we want to come into union with God. He wants to breathe his life into us, and we want to accept that life. Because in accepting that life, we begin to experience the abundance that he has in mind for us to receive. Pray to God. Lift your praises high to God and present to him every supplication that you might find the grace you need for the present moment that he presents to you. Everything good comes from prayer, says Mother Teresa of Calcutta, and so it is true.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It's the game show as we get ready for Thanksgiving. There are some Thanksgiving questions in here, by the way. We encourage you to play along at home, see how everyone in the family can do. Maybe play along in the car while you're all heading to wherever you're heading this Thanksgiving. We have two guests, Kimberly and Eric. Kimberly, am I allowed to share what you just shared with us, or is that a don't share that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so we might have to invoke a special rule, and we do have this rule. If a contestant for any reason has to drop out, then we have to make one of the staff members come in here and play for that contestant. And Kimberly has a 7-month-old baby that wants to nurse really badly. So if the baby needs to nurse, Mom's got a job, and we'll make sure. Don't worry though, you will be in your points will be in good hands here. All right, Kimberly.
Okay.
Right. Moms are phenomenal at multitasking now.
Yes, they are. Yes,
they are. They are.
Babies are also really good at being insistent when they need. All right. So, Kimberly, here's a question.
Here,
what's the name of your baby?
Annika.
Oh, Annika, a little girl. How beautiful. That's beautiful. Well, congratulations.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. You are allowed to ask Annika for help too. By the way, that's a rule we have.
Okay. She is blessed. She was born on Easter Sunday.
So. Oh wow, that's awesome.
Wow, cool. That is that's a beautiful Easter gift for you.
It was.
All right. Let's go to question number three, contestant number one. Kimberly, this one is for you. It's a little bit long. I am going to read it twice for those playing at home. Here it is, Kimberly. Apologist and speaker Carlo Broussard has a brand new book called Purgatory is for Real, Good News About the Afterlife for Those Who Aren't Perfect Yet, available now at shop.catholic.com. The question is, what happens in purgatory? A, souls not ready for heaven temporarily pass through hell to have sin burned away. B, those who died in grave sin get a last chance to repent and receive heaven. Or C, holy souls with remnants of sin are purified. Let me run that through again. I won't read the whole thing about Carlo. Jess, what happens in purgatory? A, souls not ready for heaven temporarily pass through hell to have sin burned away. B, those who died in grave sin get a last chance to repent and receive heaven. Or C, holy souls with remnants of sin are purified.
Good job, Kimberly. You got it. She said it. Holy souls with remnants of sin are purified.
Have you already read Carlo's book, Purgatory is for Real, Good News About the Afterlife for Those Who Aren't Perfect Yet, available now at shop.catholic.com?
I have not, but I've been listening to the show for a long time.
All right. Yeah. Very good.
She knows that purgatory is one of the number one asked questions.
Yeah,
right?
That we have here.
Yeah, that comes from the Catechism, paragraph 1030. All who die in God's grace and friendship are assured... Talking about purgatory, the souls in purgatory, all who die in God's grace and friendship, they are assured of their eternal salvation, although not having the holiness necessary to enter into heaven. They need to undergo this final purification. So it is not a second chance. And the two key phrases in your A and B that falsifies those answers is, number one, you said going through hell. Anybody who's in hell ain't getting out. And secondly, you said those who die in grave sin, that means they're going to hell.
Yeah.
Purgatory is only for those souls who die with charity in the soul. Only the elect, or in purgatory, at least those members of the elect who don't have the holiness necessary to enter into the beatific vision yet.
All right, here's your last question of round one, then we'll add them up and go on to round two. Eric, your question is... Apologist and speaker Carla Broussard has a brand new book called Purgatory is for Real, Good News About the Afterlife for Those Who Aren't Perfect Yet, available now at shop.catholic.com. In the first letter to the Corinthians, Paul gives an image of purgatory when he says, A, some spirits are in prison. Or does he say, B, some people will be saved but only as through fire. Or does he say, C, some people are handed over to Satan so that they will learn not to blaspheme God. Here's your question again. In the first letter to the Corinthians, Paul gives an image of purgatory when he says, A, some spirits are in prison. Or B, some people will be saved, but only as through fire. Or C, some people are handed over to Satan so that they will learn not to blaspheme God.
I will go with B.
Good job, Eric. You got it, brother. That's in verse 15 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul says that the Christian who's having the bad works represented by wood, hay, and straw burned up will suffer loss, although he will be saved, but only as through fire, indicating that the fire is an instrument by which the individual is being purified, fire conjuring up the motif of purification as seen throughout sacred scripture. So good job, Eric.
Eric, I assume that you have probably read the new book from Carla Broussard called Purgatory is for Real, Good News About the Afterlife for Those Who Aren't Perfect Yet, now available at shop.catholic.com. I'm just going to assume that you have. How are we doing after round one, Assistant Producer Marie? Sorry to wake you up, Marie. I apologize. I didn't realize you were catching a quick 40. we're all tied up at perfect, right? Everybody's got all the points. Okay, all right. We're all tied up at perfect. Oh, married life is hard, Marie. It's hard. Let's go back to Mom. Kimberly, you ready to start round two?
I am.
All right. Kimberly, your first question of round two. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving. Psalm 118 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is A, a jealous God, B, great, or C, good. Once again, tomorrow is Thanksgiving. Psalm 118 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is A, a jealous God, B, great, or C, good.
C, good.
Amen. Ain't got much to say on that one, brother.
Carla, why do we have you here, Carlo? All right, he said amen.
Thanks, because he is good. What is interesting is that's one of the Hallel Psalms, a psalm that's prayed during the Passover liturgy, giving thanks to God for the goodness manifested in the deliverance from Egypt.
You came through there. See, I didn't think you had anything, and you came through. Mm-hmm. All right, contestant number two is Eric, and this is your first question of round two, Eric. Eric, tomorrow is Thanksgiving. Jesus healed 10 lepers and only one returned to thank him. That man was A, a Samaritan, B, a Pharisee, C, a Roman centurion. Once again, tomorrow is Thanksgiving. Jesus healed 10 lepers and only one returned to thank him. That man was A, a Samaritan, B, a Pharisee, C, a Roman centurion.
I'll go with A.
And you would be correct, Eric. Good job, brother. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19 is where we read about that event. And we're told that he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. Had to put that in there. And so there you have it. And so we need to be falling on our faces to worship the Lord Jesus and giving him thanks for the many blessings that he's given us.
The other 10 still got healed, though. Or the other 9 still got healed.
Amen.
Jesus didn't make it conditional. He's a good Lord. All right, question number two for Kimberly of round two. Kimberly, you still with us, or did the baby take you away?
I am.
All right. Kimberly, which of the following is not a heresy? A, Donatism. B, Marcionism. C, Humanism. Kimberly, which of the following is not a heresy? A, Donatism. B, Marcionism. C, Humanism.
I know Donatism's a heresy, so it's not that one, but I'm not sure.
You still have your 50-50 if you want to use it.
I do.
All right, Carlo, give her the 50-50.
All right, I'll get rid of B, Marcionism.
Then I'm going to go with C, Humanism.
Oh, ding, ding. Yeah. Carlo usually picks the obvious one and makes it hard on the person. He helped you out there. Because good for you, Carlo. That was very helpful.
I'm feeling very generous today.
Well, you are very generous. It was very, for a guy who has a two-hour commute home.
Yes, sir, I do.
All right, Kimberly, just killing it. Kimberly, I have to tell you, you have one lifeline left, and by law, you are required to use it next time. Because we have to hear Carlo. Okay, very good. All right, here's your next question. Eric, your second question of round two, which of the following is a heresy, Eric? Ecumenism? Oh, excuse me. Let me do that again. Which of the following is a heresy, Eric? A, ecumenism. B, adoptionism. C, monasticism. Eric, which of the following is a heresy? A, ecumenism. B, adoptionism. C, monasticism.
I am going to use my other lifeline.
Okay. Other lifeline is a 50-50.
All right. So I will get rid of A, ecumenism.
So it's either B, adoptionism is a heresy, or C, monasticism is a heresy.
Is it C?
Oh, no, brother. Monasticism. That's the practice of being
a monk.
Adoptionism was a heresy that entailed the belief that Jesus, as Son of God, was Son by nature or generation, but as man, Christ as man, was Son by adoption. And so implying a dual personhood within Jesus, one Son by nature, another Son by adoption, which would put Jesus as man, Christ as man, the man Jesus, right, within the created order, because we as creatures are adopted sons and are sons and daughters of God, but by grace, by way of adoption. And this heresy was saying Jesus as man, the man Jesus Christ, was Son by adoption, and he was only Son by nature as Son of God, implying these dual personalities within Jesus. Very similar to Nestorianism.
All right, we are to our third question and final question of the first two rounds. We go to Kimberly. Kimberly, your final question of the first two rounds. Which of these qualities will we have when we are in heaven and raised from the dead? A, impeccability. B, omniscience. C, simplicity. Kimberly, which of these qualities will we have when we are in heaven and raised from the dead? Will we have A, impeccability, B, omniscience, or C, simplicity?
Okay, I think I know what I'm going to go with, but I'm also going to use my lifeline just so I can hear Carly Burside.
All right, will you tell us the truth about whether you got it, whether you, do you see what I mean? Will you tell us if...
Yes.
If you were... Okay. So give it to us in Igpe Atenle.
Okay, here we go. Impeccability. There you go.
That was pretty straightforward.
That is the one that I was thinking of.
Do you know what it means, or are you just going with it? All right. Because you knew we're not omniscient and we're not simple?
Yep.
Yep.
That
baby got a smart mom.
I know, right? Good job, Kimberly. That was a tricky question because impeccability applies to both souls in heaven now and at the end of time. Souls in heaven now are simple because they don't have their bodies.
But I said raised from the dead.
That's right.
I'm no fool. I knew how to write this question. We got to take a quick break, and then we'll do our last question of the first two rounds, and we'll find out who is going on to their final judgment as we do this, as we continue with this pre-Thanksgiving Catholic Answers game show.
Catholic Answers Live. We're here for you.
To many people, even many Christians, purgatory is a fantasy, or worse, a wicked lie invented by the church to make salvation complicated and keep people in fear. But I'm here to tell you that purgatory is fact, not fiction. The Bible supports it, Christians have historically believed in it, and it makes theological sense. In my new book, Purgatory is for Real, I provide the evidence and reasoning to help you understand this controversial doctrine and demonstrate how it's actually a joyful, hopeful reality, not something shadowy and mysterious, but a sign of God's love and mercy. To get your copy of Purgatory is for Real, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
If you spend any time on Twitter, Facebook, or mainstream media, you're probably familiar with the litany of slogans that skeptics employ to rescue you from the foolish belief that God exists. The constant onslaught seems to leave people with the idea that they have no alternative but to embrace atheism. How can a Christian respond? In One Less God Than You, John DeRosa breaks down 20 of the most common atheist challenges and shows you how to craft effective answers. Atheism is more aggressive and widespread than ever. Read One Less God Than You and prepare yourself to respond with the joyful truth that God is real. To get your copy of One Less God Than You, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Oh yeah. That's the Catholic Answers Game Show music, because it's the Catholic Answers Game Show. It's going to be Thanksgiving of Marie Boogieing. Nice. It's going to be the Thanksgiving tomorrow and preparation for the holiday. We thought it would be so much fun just to play the game show. And we're always thankful when Carlo's here, and we are having fun playing the game show. But I thought Marie was getting me the copy of Carlo's other book. Did she bring it to me? Well, all right, we'll work that out. But
she was too busy dancing, bro.
Oh, okay.
She's not worried about Carlo's book.
She's not, because we're approaching the end of round two, and I'm just going to need a copy of it. This is your last question of round two, Eric. We are finishing round two now. Eric, which of these qualities does God have? A, mutability. B, passibility. Or C, incorporeality. Eric, which of these qualities does God have? A, mutability. B, passibility. Or C, incorporeality.
Do you mind saying it one more time, the question?
Yeah, I don't mind saying them one
That's
more time.
That's some big words, Si.
Yeah, and I'm even going to say them with a certain emphasis. So you make whatever you want of that emphasis. Which of these qualities does God have? A, mutability. B, passibility. Or C, incorporeality.
I'm going to go with C.
Amazing. You are correct.
That's correct. Yes. Yeah. Those are some big words. Maybe perhaps next time we'll explain what they are.
Oh, you're not going to explain it now?
Well, I will. Yeah. Yeah. But maybe we'll help the contestant out next time.
Oh, mutability meaning that. Yeah. I see. So say it and give the definition
of it. But of course, they got to know what the words mean, you know. But mutability means the ability to change, right?
And God don't got, I shouldn't have said it that way. God hasn't got that.
God cannot change in any way whatsoever. Passibility means to be able to be, it's related to change, but it refers to being able to be affected by a cause outside of yourself. So like when I see my beautiful wife, I am moved, right?
Right.
To do good for her and to love her. She is affecting me. It's an external cause affecting me and moving me to do something. That cannot be with God. God is impassible. There is no way in which God can be affected by something outside of himself. So for example, God, it is not possible that God sees that I am doing good in some situation. Like God foresees that I will do some good and says, oh, so I'm going to put him in that situation. That would be me causing God in some way. God's not passible in that way. He cannot be affected by anything outside of himself. Or God seeing me doing some good and then saying, oh, Carlo's doing a good, so I think I'll reward him right now. That would be my activity affecting God and bringing some new state of being within him. That can't be possible with God, because if that were the case, and God could be moved and affected by something outside of himself, he wouldn't be God.
So God is immutable
and
impassible and incorporeal.
Incorporeal means without a body.
That's why I thought—
And that is true of God.
Yeah.
Now, it's not the case that he's the only type of being that's incorporeal. Angels are incorporeal.
But he is incorporeal.
But he is incorporeal. Our souls are incorporeal,
right?
They're spiritual. They're spiritual in nature.
But he's also simple, and we never explained that one last time in the last question about what it means to be simple and why we will not be simple in the resurrection.
That which is incorporeal is simple. Yes. It's without a certain kind of composition, namely the composition of form and matter,
right?
And to put it in the jargon there, body and soul, right? Or even for material things not having a soul, there's a composition of like what they are, their form, the constitution of the matter and the matter itself, right? Incorporeal beings don't have matter. So they are simple and not complex with regard to that, having matter or having a body. But God is absolutely simple. Not only does he not have a body and is simple in that sense, God is simple in a far greater sense that constitutes what he is as the creator, namely his essence and his existence is one and the same and are identical. There's no what we call in philosophy metaphysical composition in God. And of course, we're in the weeds now.
But how it relates to us is that we are not simple creatures. We are not now simple creatures, and we will not be simple creatures in the resurrection because we have both body and soul. And we're intended by God always to have body and soul.
The entire human person as a body-soul composite is not simple. The soul is simple, and the separated souls in heaven or in purgatory or the separated soul in hell, they are simple, but with the body, there is complexity there.
All right. Are you still awake, contestants?
Si, you gave me the bait, brother, so I took it,
I just find those things fascinating, and I like to hear you talk about them. I thought Annika would as well. Did I get her name right?
Annika.
Did I say that correctly?
Yes.
Kimberly? Okay. And how's Annika doing?
Yeah, it's a long A like father.
Uh-huh. But we're not bothering her right now. She's all right. I don't want to disturb
the baby. She's all right.
All right, good. Shh. Baby's doing well. Shh. Don't start the baby crying because Kimberly is going on to her final judgment. Eric, we have to say thank you because Kimberly turns out was perfect, and you just missed only one, and that's what.
Hence, purgatory for those who aren't perfect.
Okay,
yet.
So we'll give him your book.
Gotta get the book.
Are you gonna be okay, Eric?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
You are a wonderful contestant, and it's just great to have you here. As your parting gift, we're going to send you all of Carlo Broussard's current books. I say current because he turns them out. He's starting to become like Trent, turning them out all the time. We will start by sending you his first book, which is Prepare the Way: Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. We'll send you his second book, Meeting the Protestant Challenge: How to Answer 50 Biblical Objections to Catholic Belief, and his brand new book, Purgatory is for Real: Good News About the Afterlife for Those Who Aren't Perfect Yet. Thanks so much for playing, Eric.
Thank you. I'm excited.
God bless you, brother. Thanks for joining us.
Well, you did really, really well. So that came down to a hair's breadth, but the hair has breathed, so on we go. We are now going to your final judgment. Are you ready for your final judgment, Kimberly?
Oh, I hope so.
That's the way I feel all the time. I hope I'm ready for my final judgment. All right, the way final judgment works, there are 7 true or false questions. For each question, I will tell you what prize you are playing for before I read you the question. If you get the question correct, you get the prize. If you don't get the question correct, you get nothing. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Well, you do get something. You get to grow in the virtue of humility.
Okay. Boy, that's right. We're not going to leave you empty-handed. But also... As you play, if you get all 7 correct, all 7, if you run the table and you continue with your perfect streak, then you also get a $50 shopping spree at shop.catholic.com. Ready to play?
Mm. Yes.
All right. Where are my questions? Here they are. All right. Kimberly, I'll read the questions twice again for those who are playing along at home. Kimberly, true or false? Every adult under 58 and in good health is required to keep the Friday fast in Advent. Kimberly, true or false? Every adult under 58 and in good health is required to keep the Friday fast in Advent.
I'm going to say false. We're only required to keep those in Lent.
Wow, she's like a superstar. I tried to fool her, and superstar mom didn't go for it at all. Nice job.
That's actually a very interesting, you know, question, statement, however you want to say it, because traditionally the season of Advent is a time for penance as well in preparation for Christmas. So I could see how that could possibly trip someone up.
Yeah.
But not Kimberly.
No, and many people do keep an Advent fast. Many of our Christian brothers and sisters do, especially in the Eastern churches, keep an Advent fast. I mean, the Chaldeans, do you? And you're Byzantine, right, Marie? Marie keeps a fast. The Chaldeans, they fast for everything. I don't know when they eat.
God bless them.
And they have great food, too. So, but we Latin Catholics, we don't do that. I'll tell you what, Kimberly, you have one correct, and I didn't tell you what book you were playing for. You were playing for Purgatory is for Real: Good News About the Afterlife for Those Who Aren't Perfect Yet. So you got that one. That is in your win column.
That's why they fast so much, so they can bypass that purgatory.
I know. All the Chaldeans will be zipping by us while we're like, oh, man, I was feasting all through Advent. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back to find out if Kimberly can continue her perfect streak even while nursing a baby. She's an amazing mom. We'll be right back with more of the Catholic Answers Game Show after this.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The prayers of the elderly are powerful. Why? Because you learn in old age to depend upon God. There's no one else. Because you are still made to the image and likeness of God, no matter how old you are. You're valuable to God. Don't let anybody tell you you're not.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at ewtnrc.com.
A lot of people think that street evangelization involves yelling out of a bullhorn telling people that they're going to hell. Not so with St. Paul's Street Evangelization. Our methods are non-confrontational and effective. We simply offer information on the Catholic faith, along with rosaries, miraculous medals, and prayer. Pope Francis wrote about how beautiful it is to see street preachers joyfully bringing Jesus to every corner of the earth. Street evangelization is fun and fruitful. Join us today at streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It's the game show. Annika is the baby. She's done. She has nursed. So we've got Kimberly with us. She's with her dad, Charles, in the other room now and with the rest of the family listening to Kimberly. Virtually Napoleon marching to Moscow right now. She's just perfect. You ready to keep trying to keep your perfect streak alive, Kimberly?
Yeah, I don't like the what that implies. If I'm Napoleon marching to Moscow, that means I'm about to get trounced.
Oh, man, I'm scared of Kimberly now. She knows everything. You're right. Napoleon did get trounced, but I'm sure you will make quick work of all of this. Next one you are playing for, the next book you are playing for is Light and Leaven, the brand new book from Bishop Joseph Strickland of Tyler, Texas, from Catholic Answers Press. Light and Leaven is the book. Here is your question, Kimberly. True or false? The Apostolic Fathers were early bishops, some of whom knew the apostles. Kimberly, true or false? The Apostolic Fathers were early bishops, some of whom knew the apostles.
That one's tricky because you're implying that they both were bishops but didn't necessarily know the apostles. And my impression is that they weren't all bishops. So I'm going to say false.
We have true there. The Apostolic Fathers, Clement of Rome, Ignatius, Irenaeus, those were
Polycarp. All bishops.
Now, if it is true, I mean, the Shepherd of Hermas is included within sort of that category of the Apostolic Fathers and the documents of the Apostolic Fathers, but Hermas himself was not a bishop. So if we're restricting just to persons, I think we're safe here in talking about Clement of Rome, Ignatius, Irenaeus, Polycarp, and they indeed knew the apostles.
I do not want to end up tied up in canonical
court. Well, that actually wasn't the condition. The condition was that they were all bishops and some knew the apostles, not that all of them knew the apostles.
Yeah, Polycarp, Ignatius didn't know the apostles.
That is correct. Irenaeus didn't know the apostles.
Irenaeus,
Ignatius may have known them when he was younger, but Clement of Rome surely knew the apostles. So you are correct in saying some of whom knew the apostles.
However, I think we have to give this one to her just because of the Shepherd of Hermas. And
that could throw one off. We're talking about like these documents.
What do you guys think?
These extra biblical documents within the apostolic age.
It's just she's going to sue us, and it's going to end up to going to the Pope, and the Pope will have to decide.
Hey, man, it's the holidays, brother.
Okay, she gets it. there you go, Darren. Nice on the sound effect. Okay, so you have now won Purgatory is for Real and Bishop Joseph Strickland's book, Light and Leaven. All right, question number three. You ready, Kimberly?
Yes.
True or false? In some cases, it is morally acceptable to use in vitro fertilization. Kimberly, true or false? In some cases, it is morally acceptable to use in vitro fertilization.
I'm going to have to go with false on this one, too.
And that is correct. Good job, Kimberly. Yeah, the Catechism makes it very clear in paragraph 2376. It says, techniques that entail the disassociation of husband and wife by the intrusion of a person other than the couple are gravely immoral. And of course, in vitro fertilization would fall within that category. It goes on to state, these techniques infringe the child's right to be born of a father and mother known to him and bound to each other by marriage. They betray the spouse's right to become a father and a mother only through each other. And the key phrase there is gravely immoral, which means that we ought never to do them. And to do so would be a violation of God's design for human sexuality. And so there is no case in which it is morally acceptable because the activity in and of itself is gravely immoral. Not just immoral, but gravely immoral. So it constitutes grave matter here.
I forgot to tell you what you were playing for, Kimberly. You won Jimmy Akin's book, The Bible is a Catholic Book. You are rocking it. And we go on to question number four. This time you're playing for Secrets from Heaven from Father Sebastian Walsh. It's about the story, the sayings and parables of Jesus, a beautiful reflective book on the sayings and parables of Jesus. I hope you get it. And question number four is, Kimberly, true or false? The Church does not consider private revelation to be possible because revelation is complete. Kimberly, true or false? The Church does not consider private revelation to be possible because revelation is complete.
Well, public revelation is complete, but that doesn't mean private revelation is impossible. So what does that mean? My answer is false.
Good job, Kimberly. Kimberly knows how to reason through this stuff, man. She's, as you say, rocking it.
Yeah.
The Catechism deals with this in paragraph 67, where it affirms that there are private revelations, some of which have been recognized by the authority of the Church. And I think it's important to point out the purpose or the lack of purpose or what it doesn't achieve and what it does achieve. The Catechism points out it's not their role to improve or complete Christ's definitive revelation, because that is complete, right? So private revelation is not going to complete it because it's already complete, and it's not going to improve on it because you cannot improve on Jesus, right?
Yeah.
However, they are given, as the Catechism goes on to state, to help us live more fully by it in a certain period of history. So it's ordered toward our growth in sanctity and to be more conformed to Christ, not to complete or improve on Christ's definitive revelation.
You just won Secrets from Heaven. Here's question number five. Just three questions to go, 5, 6, and 7. If you get all those correct, you also win the great, giant, big bonus prize. Kimberly, true or false? It was absolutely necessary that Mary be a virgin in order to give birth to God's Son. Kimberly, true or false? It was absolutely necessary that Mary be a virgin in order to give birth to God's Son.
You also worded this one rather trickily, because though it is a dogma of the Church that Mary was a virgin, It wasn't absolutely necessary that she be a virgin, because God can do whatever he wants. So that one's also false.
Good job. She caught it. The key there, absolutely necessary. That is not the case. As you stated, Kimberly, God is God is omnipotent. I couldn't find the right omni, man. Oh my goodness.
He's got a lot of omnis.
God is omnipotent, so he can do all things that do not involve logical contradictions. A woman conceiving a child within her womb without the cooperation of the human father, that does not entail a logical contradiction, and so therefore God can do it. And so what Aquinas would say is, and what he does say, is that it's fitting. When he deals with these sorts of mysteries, he's always talking about the fittingness of God becoming man to redeem us, the fittingness of God's Son being born of a virgin. And we could even take Aquinas' thinking there and talk about the fittingness of Mary being immaculately conceived and without sin. Right? And so there's not absolute necessity here, but there's a fittingness that's there.
All right. I forgot to tell you again, Darren, I'm doing a terrible job today. I hope this doesn't go on my permanent record. You just played for the book One Less God Than You by John DeRosa, of which you are now the owner. It will be being delivered to you shortly.
Great book.
One Less God. Yeah.
Good guy, John.
Great guy, John DeRosa. Amen. Yeah. We're very happy to be associated with him here at Catholic Answers. Question number six, and we're getting a little bit short on time, but question number six, true or false? Kimberly, salvation is from the Jews. Kimberly, true or false? Salvation is from the Jews.
I'm going to say true.
Ooh, good job.
Wow,
yeah,
she just
good
went
job,
for
Kimberly.
It.
You didn't think about that one too much. John 4:22, quote, salvation is from the Jews, close quote. And of course, the rationale there is that Genesis chapter 12, God made the promises to Abraham, the last of which is that all peoples of throughout the entire earth would be blessed through his seed, which is Jesus Christ. And so the people of Israel were God's instrument to be a light to the nations, through which came the Messiah. and we have the fulfillment of that people in the church that Jesus Christ established, as St. Paul writes in Galatians 6:16, the new Israel of God, in reference to the Christian church.
Kimberly, got one more to go. We're getting close to the time, so I'm going to do it very quickly. And this time you are playing. Oh, you just won Trent Horn's book, Can a Catholic Be a Socialist? I'm sorry, I forgot to say it. The next book you're playing for is Meeting the Protestant Challenge by Carlo Broussard. Meeting the Protestant Challenge, true or false, Kimberly? Jesus loves us with both human and divine love. Kimberly, true or false, Jesus loves us with both human and divine love.
Well, Jesus is both human and divine, so I imagine he loves with both human and divine love, so true.
That's right. He's got two wills. He's got a human will, but in virtue of his human nature.
I thought you said wheels. I swear, I thought he said Jesus has two wheels.
Man, maybe that's a slip of my accent there.
I apologize, Carla, but I thought that's what you said.
Wheels.
He has two wills.
Wills.
Yeah.
And human. Two intellects because of the two natures. So he's got the divine nature, he's got the human nature. So he's able to love us with two different wills. And that's a mystery because those two natures are united in the one person, the Son, the Word, the second person of the Blessed Trinity.
Congratulations, Kimberly. You are a victor. You are in tremendous triumph and you won the... Oh, the crowd is going wild.
Hey, look at that.
The crowd is just going wild.
We brought back the sounds. Time.
Hey, put your masks back on, people. you won the super special gift as well because you got all seven of those last questions right. And I said the wrong gift, so I'm going to give you a choice. You can just tell Marie when you talk to her about getting the books delivered which one you want. You can have the $50 shopping spree at shop.catholic.com. But what I was supposed to say is you were going to get a free course in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics on the Inquisition. So you just tell Marie which one you want, because I don't want to, if you prefer the Inquisition course, you can have that one. If you prefer the $50 shopping spree, you can have that. But you've also won Purgatory is for Real, Light and Leaven, The Bible is a Catholic Book, Secrets from Heaven, One Less God Than You, Can a Catholic Be a Socialist, and Meeting the Protestant Challenge. Kimberly, you leave in triumph. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Good job, Kimberly.
And also, you are our first nursing mom ever on the game show. So at one of these days, we're going to have a tournament of champions. And I believe a perfect score gets you there. So maybe we'll call you back and see. Let's just say it's an aspiration right now. We keep talking about doing it. We'll see if we can get it together.
It's in the works.
Happy Thanksgiving, Kimberly.
Thank you, Si.
All right. Hang on for Marie. She's going to... I'll put you on hold and she'll get all the information she needs from you. Carlo, you did a very good job today.
Well, thank you, Si. It was fun. Always enjoy being here with you and with our contestants and doing the Catholic Answers game show.
Yeah. Of all those questions, those two contestants, we only missed 1.5 questions. I'm going to say a half. That's fair to say. I mean, technically, we had to...
She got the full W, man.
Yeah, she got the full W. Right. A win is a win. Right?
Yes, sir.
A win is a win.
And yes, sir.
Yeah. That was pretty good. You know what I like, too, is she said, well, I listen all the time. So this shows you the value
you
of
get
listening
edumacated.
To Catholic radio. That's right. She probably listens to Dr. Ray Guarendi. That's where she learned all that stuff.
You can get edumacated and sophisticated.
Which you are both, Carla.
Oh,
you are both of those things.
Thank you, Sha.
Thanksgiving, any special Broussard household Thanksgiving kind of traditions you want to tell us about? Do you dunk that turkey in oil and cook it, or do you cook it in the oven? Or
yeah, well, my wife takes care of all the cooking. I'm not a cook, and I'm very, very sad about that. I'm a Cajun boy from Southern Louisiana.
I'm
supposed to be able to cook. I know. I'm a fraud.
You are a fraud, Broussard.
So my wife does the cooking. So we got some turkey and some good food. Grandma and grandpa are at the house. And
wonderful.
My brother-in-law and his wife might be coming over as well. So it's fun times, man.
Yeah. How about you, Darren? Anything special? He's like, we're just going to eat. That baby number four, is like 5 weeks away, right? 5 or 6 or something weeks away. So that's taking up all their energy.
Amen.
Marie's cooking a lamb.
Ooh.
Is that true, Marie? Yeah, she's still cooking a lamb. That's it. What about you, Thomas? What's going to happen at your house? He's not. I'm going to be there, he said. Spoken like a true young adult. I'm going to be there. Mom has the privilege of cooking for me. Well, we got a lot to be thankful for here at Catholic Answers. I'll say it again, as I have said on previous occasions. It's been a tough year in a lot of ways, but people have been very supportive of our apostolate, made it possible for us to continue our work. And as we approach Thanksgiving, I just want to say thank you to everybody for that. It means the world. We try just to do our best just to share the Catholic faith, explain and defend the Catholic faith, and not mix in a lot of chaff with that wheat. We just try to serve the wheat when we can. We're not perfect, but we're really, really grateful for your support. Carlo, thank you for doing the show with
us. Thank you, Si. I'm grateful for you, brother.
And thank you, Jesus, for all you have given us. Jesus Christ is the light of the nations, and we'll see you next time, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.